it's time for this week's edition of Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us on the telephone. Good day, sir.
Sorry, I'm totally in Brian Adams land right now.
I don't blame
you. How dare you do that to me?
Well, you want to hear a little more?
Okay. No, I mean, yes, but no. Listen, because okay. I got one word for you, Richard.
Yes.
Major League Baseball All-Star Game Madness is here. Hang on. There's more than one word, and I really don't care. But it's all we got right now because there's no other sports. Oh, I mean, there's tennis, which is nice. When I realized I wasn't good at tennis, I stopped caring about tennis. How's everybody up there? I mean, it's been weeks.
We're good. Carey already missing Louisiana. He's bundled up in a flannel shirt here in the studio because I've got the heat pump on to cool things a little bit, and he's shivering a little bit. He could use a shawl.
Yeah. No, I've actually learned. So everybody knows, I've been the past 2 weeks down in Georgia, and you can see the air. It's so humid, like literally. But what the fascinating thing is, when you come inside, and I was sort of warned about this, it's not so much the air conditioning as the fact that the air conditioning reduces the humidity level. All of a sudden, you're freezing. You're wearing a sweater inside, and it's set for 73. It's like, it's a strange vibe. However, one of the interesting, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I'm sort of changing on the fly what I was going to talk about today, but we will talk about some regional wine down here that folks up in Maine don't know about. I've been down here, I'll be heading back north. So I look forward to seeing all your smiling faces in the store again. And, thank you for, being so awesome to my staff while I've been gone. So the first thing I actually kind of wanted to talk about, and this is an odd, intersection of what I do and popular culture. As many of you know, I have recently spent some wonderful time in the southern part of France. I am also a huge rosé fan, have been for years. It was, you know, sort of one of the grand pushes when I was just getting into the wine industry to get Americans to drink rosé, not your grandmother's pink wines, but actual honest to God dry rosé from places like the southern part of France. And I'm sure a lot of you are also familiar with two movie stars that used to be married, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. One of the things they did when they were a power couple reckoned with was that they bought a place called Chateau Miraval, which was a nice little estate in Provence. Nothing super special. It's not like on the coast. It's actually inland quite a bit, surrounded by forest and everything. It's nice. It's fine, you know? And they negotiated with my good friends, the Perrin family, who own Chateau de Beaucastel, and do everything from the Le Vieux Ferme, little Vin de Pays, up through the Beaucastel wines. So they manage it, the Perrins do. But as everybody is, of course, aware, they're no longer married. And one of the things that has been an issue is Chateau Miraval. And one of the things that happened, I believe it was last year, maybe it was a little over that, is that they had agreed, I'm not sure formally or informally, I believe it was quasi-formally, to not sell their portion of the estate without the other's permission. And indeed, Angelina Jolie did sell her portion to the Stoli group, right? The Stolichnaya, et cetera. Which is also owned by a Russian oligarch, because what isn't these days? By the way, does anybody want to buy a yacht? Moving on. So that happened, and now Angelina Jolie's company, which is called Nouvelle, that is her investment company, or former one, or whatever it is accusing Pitt and, quote, co-conspirators of stripping and looting Miraval's assets. This is a good one. Pitt, this is, quote, Pitt wasted the company's assets, spending millions on vanity projects, including more than $1 million on swimming pool renovations, building and rebuilding a staircase four times, and spending millions to restore a recording studio. All right, here's where I'm going to leave the quotes behind and give you my unbiased opinion. Folks, one of the biggest things that I love about rosé is that it's affordable. It's affordable, it's delicious, it's really wine of the people. It really is. Miraval was really one of the first estates that said, it's okay to charge more. Let's make premium rosé. Now, premium rosé is not a thing, folks. It really isn't. If you're spending, I mean, there's certain rosés that like cost a little bit more, right? But if you're spending upwards of like $80, $100, $120 on a bottle of rosé, like by definition, unless that rosé is literally like, I don't know, Marlon Brand, not a bad example. I don't know. Whomever's feet you would want to stomp your grapes personally, and make a bottle of wine out of that, maybe that's worth it. But rosé is and never will be worth the premiums that are involved in, for instance, new oak barrels, right? Things like that, which cost a ton of money. Rosé doesn't go in new oak barrels. And if it is in new oak barrels, don't drink it, because ew. So here's my issue. Since Miraval came out with a lot of, you know, high-priced rosés, other people have as well. A guy named Sasha Lachine, you've probably seen Whispering Angel, which is like $25, and that's the cheap one. It can go up to like $130, $140 a bottle from the same estate. Again, it's just like Provençal grapes that are good. Don't get me wrong, but it's really obnoxious. And so when I see rich people fighting over things that I've sort of been trying to convince people to drink because they're not precious, you know, because I hate wine on a pedestal. Wine is not on a pedestal. Wine should be on your kitchen table or your picnic table with your friends, your family. It should not be, hey, I spent $120 on this bottle of Provençal rosé. Don't do it, and don't fall for it. Which is to say, by the way, that we've got some wonderful rosés at the store that have arrived. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten to taste them. I pre-ordered them a long time ago, but they've arrived since I've been in Georgia. So do get in and check some of those out, because they're probably unbelievable, and I can't wait to try them. But yeah, so that's the latest thing out of celebrity / rosé list.
It's good to know what's going on behind the scenes.
It's just exhausting. It's like, come on, folks, you're killing me here. Like, oh, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are fighting over a rosé estate. You're like, great, that's exactly the message I'm going. Oh, gory. Well, listen, hey, so really quickly, and I'm very kind of intrigued / excited by this, and I'll sort of finish up by talking about the regional specialty down here. As a lot of people will recall, when folks from Europe landed here and really wanted to drink wine, they tried to plant Vitis vinifera, right, the type, you know, the grapes, the strain of grapes that we all like to drink, and it failed utterly because of the phylloxera louse that a lot of people now have come to understand was in the nice sandy soils of our eastern shore. But there were other grapes that were here of different strains, and one that is prevalent down here and I've been very intrigued by and asked about up north, and we simply don't have it, is muscadine wines. So muscadine is a species which is called Vitis rotundifolia, native to the southeastern United States. Different cultivars of muscadine exist. They're fairly large and plump grapes as opposed to some of the, you know, wine grapes that you may be familiar with. It's got a fairly bad reputation in general because a lot of them they'd add sugar, what we call chapelization, if you want to be classy about it. But down here, just, you know, we're adding sugar and making a really, really sweet wine. But now people, like, you know, people are kind of doing everywhere, are sort of pulling back on that and trying to make regionally interesting wines. So now I am here in this land of muscadine. I'm bringing some north to try with my staff. But there's according to this figure on winefolly.com, apparently 3,200 acres of this grape planted throughout Georgia, Carolinas, et cetera. So really interesting. If you're down here in this part of the world, they're really good because their skins are really, really thick. So they're high in like antioxidants, resveratrol, etc. So in theory, it's kind of good for you, and it's sort of a neat regional thing. So do, if you're, you know, if you're down here in the southeast part of the world, check it out and tell me what you think. We don't have any up in Maine. I don't think there's any plans to bring any north, but you know, kind of a cool regional specialty that I am trying, and you should all as well. And I guess next week I'll be back up north, and we'll sort of launch back into the world of wine.
We look forward to it. And as I found out down in North Carolina, cheer wine, not wine at all.
No, cheer wine, different. Cheer wine, different. I was warned about that, actually. A dear friend of mine is actually from South Carolina, and I met her around the same time I met my wife at the Glimmerglass Opera. Stayed with her on the way down. She's like, yeah, here's the deal about cheer wine. Probably not what you're looking for. I'm like, oh, good tip. Good tip.
Eric, thank you as always. Good to talk with you, and we'll check in with you from home next week.
All right, talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
He's already picking it up. I like that. It's Eric Meehan, Bancor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.